Part 5, London.
We are having our wonderful talks on positive attitudes of mind and body and how we think loving, beautiful thoughts about who we are and what we are. Now, we have the opportunity to be the ideal if we want to be the ideal. We don't always know what the word ideal means, and we don't know how we're going to act as an ideal person. But what does the ideal mean? What does the ideal mean to each one of us as we live our lives and think our thoughts? Now, what does the ideal mean to each one of us? The ideal means one thing. It means that which is the perfect, that which is the one that is going to fulfill for us whatever it is that's important for us to have. We go around saying, this is ideal weather. We say, this is an ideal house. This is an ideal job. And when you went down to the Saudi, you said you had an ideal situation there working for the hospital. But what you did, you worked in a place that was terrible. You worked in a place that was ugly, a place where the people didn't believe in you, that they didn't trust you. You worked in a place where everybody was upset with you and upset with what you were trying to do, and that you were a foreigner working there. And everybody felt that way. But you were unaware of that. You went down there absolutely liking yourself, absolutely thinking, this is wonderful. I'm going to have such a wonderful time here sharing with these people. And so, when the women who are Muslim in nature come in to be examined by a doctor, they doesn't work out very well. They want a woman doctor. And you merely said to them, okay, do you want a live baby or a dead baby? My job is to deliver live babies now. You've let me be a doctor and I'll be fantastic for you. And so they said, oh, you're the first man who ever spoke to me in such beautiful ways. Yes, take over. And the husband agreed because the wife agreed. And so then they came back year after year to have you deliver each new baby as they had many babies in their family because they could afford it. And they were having a wonderful life. Now, you were in an unideal situation, but you made it ideal. You made it ideal by your attitude, by your thinking that you're going in there and you're a doctor. You're a gynecologist. You know what you're doing. And as you're dealing with these people, you're saying, you're wonderful, you're fantastic, you're glorious. Now, how do you want your baby? You want your baby to be the most beautiful baby in the world? Well, let's make sure by checking all the details and making sure everything's in divine order. And little by little, they gained such confidence in you, they began calling you grandfather. They began thinking of you as a member of their family. And of course, the more they thought of you as a member of the family, the more they could acknowledge you as doing things that only members of the family could do, of going with them and checking for their babies and checking that everything was in divine order. Now, you took something that was not ideal and made it ideal, not because you said, I'm going to make it ideal, but because you liked yourself. Because you said, I like me. I like what I do. I like the people I work with. I like all the things that I'm working on. I like me. This is a great, wonderful experience. And as you did this, the experience became more and more beautiful, more and more wonderful, more and more revealing and fulfilling to you. And it was exciting. Now, you could have had a big head over this, because you went in where no man dared to tread, and you came out as a man who was happy and content. Now, you were blessed. Now, this sounds terrible, but you were blessed as you were born and raised by your parents not being there anymore. They left early in your life, and it was unfortunate they had to die or move out. But the thing is, you then had no other recourse but to depend on yourself. You had no other recourse but to say, I want to be all that I can. I want to be everything that I can. I'm not sure what it is yet. I may try a couple dozen things before I find out, and even then I may not know what really turns me on. But at least I'm working, and I'm having fun. I choose to be a gynecologist.
Yes.
I am not going to be a gynecologist because my mommy wants me to be, my daddy wants me to be, my family history is in medicine, but because I want to be it. And so, what kind of a gynecologist are you going to be? Well, you're going to be a fast and quick gynecologist that does their work and then gets off on the golf course. You want to be on the golf course more than you want to be on taking care of your patients. And, of course, that's not true. What's true about you was you love your work. You love your work because you can see each time you work with a patient, you are bringing brightness and harmony and happiness to their life. And most of the time, surely a few times it was a difficult surgery, a difficult birth, but most of the time it was popcorn. You created your mothers all as making popcorn, and the baby just popped out with no problem at all, clipped with the umbilical cord, dropped in the nitro for their eyes and things like that, the whatever it is, and you just, they came out perfect. And then you did something that no other gynecologist does. You looked at the baby and you said, "Welcome to the world. You are fabulous. You have the most beautiful mother and father in the world, and you've come into the most glorious country in the world to live. You are going to be a blessing to this country and a blessing to yourself. You live in your whole and perfect body. You're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful." Now, you may not remember saying all that, but that's what you thought.
Yeah.
That's what you thought about each little child that you've delivered into the world. And as you delivered them, you said to yourself, "What a blessing I have to bring these magical children into the world." Now, the theory of a lot of activity there was terrorism and unhappiness from one source or another. And people said, "Well, you know, isn't this going to bother you?" And you said, "That is not in my purview. That is not in my life. That is not in my design. My world is a world of peace and love and happiness." But they do this. No, they don't. How many gynecologists have been bombed? How many gynecologists have been distressed by other people? None. None, if you get right down to it. Most of them are too scared. But none. But you went in there knowing that you're surrounded by the pure white light of love. You go in there with your background from Unity and from other metaphysical teachings, and you made yourself into the beautiful symbol of truth and love, and you became the ideal to them because you already were the ideal to yourself, the ideal medical doctor, the ideal gynecologist. Now, does everyone do that? Everyone can, but does everyone do it? Well, everyone should, but does everyone do it? No, everyone doesn't do it because they cannot be what you are very talented in being, objective. Because you're objective, much like Christie is objective, you're objective and you see what's going on in the world and you don't judge it and you don't think of it in that respect relationship. And puts on a good show, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you're untouched by those things. And Christie's untouched, too, by her patients and by the things she deals with, because she looks at each one as a patient who is whole and perfect. And, of course, the hospital doesn't like that. That doesn't bring in the bucks from the state and what have you. But that's the way she is. I had a nurse as a student in Switzerland, and this was back in 73, and or 75 rather, and she's a good lady, and she's still with us, lovely person. She took all of our programs, all of our courses. Well, while she's taking the courses, she worked as a line nurse in a ward, and she would be on duty every evening. And she was a single woman, and she went to these people along the way, and under her breath, not out loud, she said, "You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You're whole." To each person in there, she surrounded them with her pure white light of love, with her pure imagination of seeing them glowing with a light of wholeness and purity. And certainly no one could object to that, you know. But perhaps she couldn't say it out loud because the people would say, "How do you know? How do you know? Prove it. Show me. You know, I want to be that way." So you just quietly bless them. Well, she had this ward for many years, but after she started taking the course, her ward started dwindling. Yeah. Less and less people were in her. They closed her ward.
Yes.
Because there weren't enough people to put in that ward, and they put her in other areas. But she didn't recognize at first that it was her that closed that ward.
Yes.
It was her saying to all the people, "You're home." She'd leave the ward at night, when she, in the morning when she'd go home, and she'd say to the people in the ward mentally, "I surround you with my pure white light of love. You're whole and perfect now." And then symbolically, pick up your bed and go. You know, she didn't say that, but she thought that. And the beds were picked up and put away, which were not used, because they did not have a need for it. Now you think, my goodness, a hospital that doesn't need to have more and more beds? Well, she spoke her word, and she believed it, and she followed through on it, and she's just an utterly fantastic lady. Now, another experience on that same thing with having this self-confidence and having this belief in yourself, that is this lady that we told you about who was over in Frankfurt, and she worked in a minister's office. Well, I'd been going to hospitals in Europe and in German-speaking countries, and they would say the Krankenhaus. And they would say the Kranken Sisters, the nurses who worked with the people were sick sisters, you know, and the hospital was a sick place. And I said, it's a Gesundheitshaus, and these are Gesundheitsschwisters, Gesundheitshaus, Gesundheitsschwisters. And I went around saying that again and again and again. Well, Karen went to her boss and said, hey, you know, this is the Gesundheit cards that we're making out, instead of the Kranken card, we're making out Gesundheit cards for people because they go there to get the treatment they need, and if we say Kranken card, then they'll think of it every time they get sick. But if we say Gesundheit cards, they'll think they're going there to get whole and perfect. Well, the minister heard what she said and said, and so then he walked out into the legislature there in Frankfurt for Germany, and he said, I have decided we are now going to have Gesundheit cards to give out to our people. We're ready to issue the new cards. And we're going to do that so that the people will think in health rather than in illness. Now, we don't know where the blessings come. We don't know where the seeds that we plant for harmonious living and harmonious being, how they are nurtured and how they're taken care of and how they are born and become reality. But it happens all the time. It happens all the time. I know for myself, I'm always amazed and delighted when I hear about people who are listening to the tapes on the internet and who are taking the course. And well, one fellow, Heinz, he took the courses back in 85, something like that, 84. And very good student. Well, he still has the original cassette tapes, required listening tapes, that I had then. And he listens to them, and he says, you know, Herb, you should really redo the tapes in your voice today. You have a different voice than you did then. And, you know, you might have different ideas, too. And I said, thank you, Heinz. I didn't have any idea he was listening to them still at this late date. But he's listening to them because he believes in his personal integrity. He is the ideal student. The student who takes learning and makes it his and applies it in every area of his life. And Chrissy, that's what you're doing. You're applying this learning in every area of your life. And whenever you have a chance to lasso me and bring me over here, you want to do that. And if you do it just for yourself and your few special chosen friends, that's good too. But the thing is, don't give it a thought. Don't give it a thought. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by chance. You have been working on the courses and you have been changing your life because you're the ideal person. Are you the ideal person?
Yes.
Are you ideal? Yes. Is she an ideal nurse? Yes. Is she an ideal being? Yes. Are you? You're fantastic. Now, You haven't chosen to get married. You haven't chosen to have children. You haven't chosen to have a husband. You haven't chosen to do a lot of things. Well, now, oh, this makes you strange. This makes you strange. No? If you were to look at the statistics of people on the face of the earth, you'll find that over 50% of the people on earth are not married. Over 50% are not married. And 60% of the people who get married get unmarried. And they have another marriage, but they get unmarried. Why? Because people want to be uninhibited and move forth with their dreams and their goals without being told by people who are around them how they should do it. They don't like to have people say, well, where are you going? What are you doing? How are you doing it? You know, you're an adult and you're past that, and you want to go out for the evening. You don't call Chioma and say, Chioma, I'm going to be out for the evening, so don't call me. You're too smart for that. What does she do?
She just goes.
I'm sorry?
She just goes.
She just goes and takes all her cell phones along, so if Chioma wants to call her, she's swimming in the swimming pool, she's got her cell phone there, you know what I mean? I mean, she's available anywhere. But if she really wants to have a meditative evening, and she doesn't do that very often, she'll leave her cell phones at home.
Yes.
And then she'll
go. People find that difficult.
You don't.
No, I don't.
That's great.
I mean, like, I came here, I tuned mine off.
Yeah. And that's smart.
Yeah, I tuned it off, but I wanted to check something now.
Yeah.
That's when I...
No, but that's smart.
I tuned it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, but how many people do that?
Very few.
We had three women here last night, and four, and each one had a cell phone, and some had two, and they were checking it while I was talking, and they were doing this and that, and I thought to myself, how much are you getting good out of this? The cell phone and the people on the other end, you can talk to them anytime, but you're not going to have me here answering questions. Then we went in and counseled. And we talked about things that were important to them, and they really listened. They didn't listen to their cell phone at all. They gave me 100% attention. And I said, anything else? Well, I'm coming on Sunday, so I'll write some things down. And I said, super. And so this is what we want to do. We want to be the ideal of whatever we are. Now, your ideal man, ideal woman, ideal spiritual person, ideal mother, father, ideal, you know, husband, wife, ideal nurse, ideal doctor, ideal retired person. And do you ever get called on cases of gynecology now?
No.
Why?
I retired before time.
That's not my point. Why didn't you? You didn't because you don't want them anymore.
No.
And you resigned.
They wanted to do locums and all that. I said, no, I'm finished.
He's done.
No.
Now, who's his next patient?
Himself.
Himself.
Yeah.
Now you're going to give your 100% attention to yourself, to be yourself.
Yeah.
Now, just an illustration, how long did you sit in your chair this morning and say, I like me, or anything else? How long did you take to meditate and just be at peace, just for a few minutes, to get your balance this morning? How long did you take?
About 15 minutes.
That's better than most people.
Yeah, about 15, because I woke up in time, you know, did my meditation, I had my bath, then I started thinking of coming, because I had planned when I'd be at the train station.
Right.
I take the train, and doing that.
Right. Mm. You have to take the train to here and then the taxi?
Yes.
Oh, that's way. That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you're brilliant. Now, what did you, and don't tell me unless you want to, what did you meditate about?
Well, my meditation usually, first of all, I think of the day.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The sun comes through my window, and I feel so happy that I can see the sun, all right? And I move my hands up and down, and see they are still moving, and my legs are still walking, you know?
Super.
And I can breathe.
No. You know? I'm going to stop you. You're getting too far.
Yeah.
You're happy the sun came up.
Yeah.
No, you're happy to look at the sun and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Not that it came up. And you're not happy that you can still move your legs. You're happy to move your legs and enjoy the feeling in them and enjoy the vitality of your body.
Yes.
But if you say still and maybe, you know, and the sun come, watch the sun.
It's as if I don't expect them. But what I'm saying is that I appreciate those things.
Right.
When I wake up.
That's super.
I appreciate the things that I see.
That's super.
You know?
That's super. But I'm, of course, ideal. And so when I hear you, I'm working on ideal. And I'm working on you saying everything that you're from the ideal. What you're doing is great. I mean, you can't fault it at all. What you're doing is great. It's just by saying still and stuff like that. It's saying, oh, thank God I can still breathe. I'm glad I can breathe. I woke up in the morning and I can breathe. And I'm thankful
not
for
that attitude. I'm saying, thank God, it's as if God
is doing me a favor. That's right. God doesn't do that, does he?
No.
Or it doesn't.
I'm just saying, I enjoy what I see. Yeah.
Super.
Yeah.
And what is your feeling when you finish your meditation? No, just a minute. You start to meditate, and you set your clock, or you don't set your clock, or you look at your watch, or you don't look at your watch. But what determines the end of your meditation? Not time, necessarily. Yeah. Maybe it is. But what determines the end of your meditation when you're meditating?
Well, like today, it was time.
Well, normally.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I say, oh, I'm going to meditate for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Oh, you say, I'm going to do that for a certain period.
Yes.
You don't just say, I'm going to meditate. You sit and you meditate.
No.
And then, oh, that feels so good. And it doesn't matter whether it's a second, 10 seconds, 10 minutes, or an hour, you know.
Yeah.
And you just do it whatever your inner self tells you to do. Now, that's ideal.
Yeah.
Now, what you've done is, I'm going to make sure I get some time in for meditation today.
That's it.
And that's good, too.
Yes.
I mean, that's better than a kick in the head. But the thing is, you want to be very careful that you don't build up a habit that you, I'm going to meditate 10 minutes, or I'm going to do this.
Maybe a habit, because when I wake up, I spread my thoughts about certain things.
That's super.
Before I actually stand up from the bed.
That's super.
I look at the clock. It's telling me, oh, it's 6:15. And I say, oh,
super.
Let me just think of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do that. Mm-hmm. And before I sleep, I do the same thing, you know.
Great.
I said, oh, I'm going to sleep now around 10 o'clock. And I check what happened during the day and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I raise my mind of all the things. And I sleep smoothly.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I wake up, I don't just stand up. I lie down and I think of the things that I want to think about.
You take advantage of your restful feelings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just that I was coming out today. If I'm not going anywhere,
mm-hmm.
I take longer time than that.
Sure.
Yeah. I take longer time just to feel around, look, think of things before I actually stand up from the bed.
No schedule.
Mm-hmm. No schedule. Mm-hmm. No. I'm not saying I must do this. No.
Isn't that a nice feeling?
Yeah, I'm not.
Did you do that most of your life?
No. When I was walking, I had shadows.
Yeah. But did you do that feeling most of your life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had that feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of my life.
Timing is one thing, but you had that feeling.
Yeah.
And that feeling was with you all the time.
Yes.
And that feeling is your nature.
It's my nature.
And that feeling is from your sons and your daughter.
Well,
yes.
They have absorbed it.
Yeah. Because they're your mirror.
Yeah.
Now, did you have ever any anxious moments that might have been shown on your son?
Yeah, I might have had.
Yeah, so now is the time to let that all be passed.
That's it.
And from this moment forward, only have positive thoughts about yourself and
that's
your son.
That's
and
it.
Sons and daughters.
That's what I'm learning fast.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's not hard to do. Mm. It's just a change.
Yeah.
It's like smoking, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to quit, not because you want to keep smoking, but because it's a habit you built up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm trying to do it. And I'm almost there, you know, because it's like, I used to worry about what they do and so on, my daughter and dad. I just leave them to do what they want, you know.
That's great.
My daughter comes, oh, how long are you staying? I don't ask.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't ask.
Yeah.
Before I say, oh, or,
where
what
is
your plan?
Or why
are what
you
are you going to do? Yeah. What are you going to do this? So, no, she comes and I just see her. So I'm coming. I said, all right, you come. And I don't say, when are you going?
Yeah.
In those days, I say, when are you going? What is your plan?
Tell me when you're coming, so I'll be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, so I mean, she phoned me and said, oh, I'm coming down. I knew she was coming, but she phoned me, oh, I'm going to arrive this. I said, all right, I'll collect you at the airport. That's it. And she came. If it's those days, I would say, oh, how long are you staying? What are you going to do? Yeah. What are your plans?
Yeah,
when she tells me what she's doing, like tomorrow I'm going to hold the baby while she attends her conference and so on.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. I'm not so inquisitive again. What have you done with this and that and that? Which I used to do before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I bring their own problems into my own head. You know, if there are problems, let them have it. You know.
Wonderful to let it go, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, I used to say it's the law of non-resistance, but it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
The law of non-resistance is, oh, if something is coming, you don't resist it. But this is a question of letting something go. It's not whether it's coming to you or not.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting people do what they want.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the result to you from doing that is what?
Oh, I have a lot of peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
I'm not worried about what this person is doing or this person is doing or that, you know. I'm not asking what you are going to do or what you are not going to do.
Right.
So I just take them as I see them.
Now, do you think that anyone could do that?
Yeah. Because I wasn't doing that all the time.
No, that's not the reason. You think anyone can do it?
Anybody can do it.
What it takes is just to do it.
If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Just do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it takes. Just
do you meditate when you first get up? She shakes her head slowly.
I meditate all the time. Meditation is all the time. All the time is meditation, but having a specific time.
Well, do you ever take yourself on a guided meditation? Do you ever meditate on anything specific and spend some time thinking about it?
I do think about it, but not the way I should.
Yeah.
Not the way I should. I should do more.
I mean, it's like the 3-hour meditation. I don't do it all the time. But there are times I do it, you know, and I do, when I do it, I wake up at 4 o'clock because I want to finish by 7, all right? If, let's say, I have I start by 4.
But you do the 3-hour meditation. What happens to you when you do it?
It's lovely.
It's unbelievable how you feel.
The day is
so. You change your whole attitude about yourself.
And the day.
Yeah, and the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth it. Now, you've heard my 3-hour meditations from Nigeria, and those are explanation things. They're good too. I enjoy listening to them too.
Yeah.
Because when you give them, you don't always hear what you're doing.
Yeah.
You just speak from your heart.
Yeah. I read one in Nigeria, and I have the other ones too.
Yeah.
I have it on the ones, the talks you gave before, and the Nigerian ones.
Good.
But as I said, it's wonderful if you can. I mean, there's a time I did it for a whole week.
Yeah, great. You know?
But I couldn't keep it, you know, every week.
Yes. Yeah. There are times you fall asleep or times you have other appointments.
Yeah.
But it's not designed to be a perpetual thing. It could be.
Yes.
It is designed to prove to you over a given period of time that you can have spiritual illumination.
Yes.
And, of course, I feel of you and what you have told me about your experiences in your life and your attitude that you've already been through spiritual illumination many times.
Yes.
Yes. And no hesitation there. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Yes.
Yes.
You know it. You know it. And isn't it wonderful?
I know it.
For me too.
Yeah.
Each time I have it, it's yes. People say, well, do you have, what happened? You can't tell people. It's personal.
Yeah.
Because it's something like the Buddha having his bliss experience. How can you explain that?
No.
Okay. And then it doesn't make the same point. The Buddha had previous experiences that we will never have. And so then his experience followed that. Now, our experience, and we've had them, follows some of the experiences that we've had.
Yes.
Some very serious and some very ordinary, you know. But they're fun. Now, Christy, how many times have you had a bliss experience?
Numerous times.
I'm sorry?
Numerous times.
Numerous times. If you've had bliss experiences numerous times, then you must be very much aware of what bliss experiences are. What is a bliss experience, Christy?
It's indescribable.
Sounds like me. It's indescribable? Well, now, what do you mean by indescribable?
You can feel it. The happiness within you is... It's like you are here, but it's... It is.
You can't put it into words.
You can't put it into words, and you could see it, you can experience it, you could see things happening, you could see that inner peace and joy. And sometimes it's like you're in a different dimension.
Can you see how if every day before you go in your office, always if you can, but especially before you have some experiences that you need to be master of, you would take a few moments just in your car, sitting in the parking lot there, and say, I am peace, I am peace, I am peace. All is in divine order, all is harmonious, all is beautiful. I am at peace. And then you walk into your office and you feel so relaxed and everything steps right into place. Your associate in your office says to you, Miss Christie, we have everything done, or Nurse Christie, we have everything done, or Sister Christie, whatever she calls you. Now, everything's done, everything's in order. The office is spick and span, and all of the things are put away. And everyone, Christie, you know what? All of our patients were transferred to the wellness ward because they're perfect. And they had a new shipment come in today of patients, you know, that are needing your attention. And what a blessing. What a blessing, you know. You know, all the goody ones that you trained to be recognized or whole and perfect and all that other good stuff, they're shipped out to the wholeness ward now. Interesting?
Yes.
Is that true?
They do discharge you. We're outpatients. Mm-hmm. We're outpatients, but they discharge your patients. They come back, they're happy, they're healed.
And it's good, though.
It's good.
See how perfect you are?
A reflection of you.
This is how you live your life. This is how you express yourself and how you respond to the world. And it's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, you, he's out of the picture on this particular thing. You are going to work with a bunch of people, doctors and nurses and patients, okay? And suppliers, especially the suppliers who could be a real pain. Now, they're oftentimes more bothersome than the doctors and nurses, but you're dealing with these people. Now, what is your attitude about them?
The ideal.
Your attitude about them is that they are the ideal?
The ideal colleagues, ideal doctor, ideal patient, ideal supplier.
Now, would you like to, in a moment, describe what either an ideal patient, doctor, nurse, or supplier is? What are they like?
All our needs are met. All our goals and objectives are fulfilled. And everybody.
How are they, how would you describe them as people?
Being themselves and having fun. Just a reflection of me.
That's...
They don't know that.
No. But you have to, I would suggest, you have the doctors. You walk in the office and you sit at your desk and close your eyes and you say, you have so many doctors. I surround you with my pure white light of love. All your ways are peace and all your ways are pleasantness, and that every patient that we work with here is treated honorably, trustworthy, and with great results. Okay? Now. And then you say that about the nurses. You say that about the suppliers. You say, you see, just say they're being themselves and having fun. Well, that's true. That doesn't answer my question. My question is, what do you say about them? No. If you're getting ready for retirement, and you say, being themselves and having fun, well, that's great. Then that's great. But if you say they are suppliers, why did you put the word suppliers in front of their name unless you wanted to say they're good suppliers? And why did you say nurse unless you wanted to say a good nurse and a good doctor, you know? So we want to be really careful with how we use our words and use them powerfully, because I jump on you whenever I catch you using words improperly more than a couple times. A couple times I don't say anything because I figure you might have just misspoke. But when I see it persistently done, recognizing that that's really what you feel, then I tell you about it. No?
Thank you.
Okay, now. To have an ideal doctor, what would he be like? Being himself and having fun. All right, now, we got that over with. Now, having an ideal doctor, what would he be like? You realize we got one sitting here. Now, what would he be like? What is an ideal doctor like?
Doing his job perfectly.
I'm sorry?
Doing his job perfectly.
He what?
Doing his job perfectly.
He's doing his job properly?
The good team.
What would you think of a doctor who walked into each patient and said, "You're holding perfect, you're fantastic, your chart's just going off the chart, you're fantastic, I'm just so proud of you"? What would you think of a doctor that said that?
Yeah, in the first place, by the patient, we look at him funny.
In the first place, would the doctor ever say that?
Not likely.
Not likely.
He would say it silently, but
maybe.
Yeah.
Inside, yeah. And why wouldn't he say it?
Because the recipients won't receive it in the same tune.
It doesn't bring the results because they instantly object to him.
Yeah, they might, yeah.
Yeah. And they say, "Oh, don't I wish, you know, don't I wish. Why didn't you tell me this yesterday?
Yeah.
Yesterday you said I'm going to die. Today you say I look great." Well, you do, you know. You made a change inside of you. And this is what we have to do. Yeah. We have to make a change inside of us. Now, how did Ibube make a change?
I changed my attitude about him.
Mostly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I praise him and see him being what I visualize him, a picture of what I'm thinking, my thoughts about and my attitude about him.
And Ibube is content.
Yes.
Asleep.
He's in the bath. Hmm? He's in the bath.
Which he didn't want to go.
That is it. Well,
he's
how about you
now?
Yeah, let him be there.
So he's in his bath, and that's why you go and check on him all the time.
Yeah.
And you hear him holler and saying, "I'm having fun."
Yeah.
Okay, now, what do you say about your fellow nurses?
They're ideal. They're ideal, working as good nurses.
Let's just get over the idea that we have made the generic term for the nurses, the doctors, and the suppliers, and everybody. That's done. You know what the word generic means? Generic means that they're the ideal, they're whole and perfect, they're fantastic. Now, let's get to the specifics, and let's say that your nurses are... I have the most loving, sensitive nurses in the world. They go into a patient, and they touch them, and they say to them, "You're wonderful," and they say, "You're fantastic, and you're good." And they, when I come by, the patient called me in, "Where did you find that lovely nurse? I haven't seen a nurse so loving and so caring in all my times in the hospital." And I'm chronically in the hospital, you know. Yeah.
People praise my nurses.
But if you don't persistently stay with the principle for yourself, you will not get the results from others. Now, what is the principle for yourself?
Be myself
and yeah.
And praise them.
Yeah, in your work. What you say, "I am an excellent nurse. I am surrounded by excellent nurses. I am surrounded by excellent doctors." That's generic, but at least it gets you away from the ideal. Now, if you say, "I have an ideal doctor," then what happens?
I'm the ideal.
There's nothing more you can say, is there?
No.
The conversation is over.
Yeah.
But you have the ideal doctor, nurse, and everything else, and you. Now, those are people that you're dealing with all the time. And those are people that you want to say about all the time how perfect they are. Now, can you do that?
Yes.
All right. Now, what is Ibo Bay doing right now? Don't go. What's he doing?
He's actually having his bath. Everybody's having his bath.
Ibo Bay is trying to get your attention.
Distraction.
Huh?
Distraction. No, he's trying to get my attention. He will not distract me.
He's trying to distract you.
Yeah.
Get your attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you allow everything to distract you, even if somebody you love, like Ibo Bay?
That is removing the filters.
Do you let him get your attention?
No.
Why not?
I create them to do what they want to do.
Okay. If you create him doing what you want to do, then what happens?
They are pictures.
There was this couple, and they had this dog, and they had written books on dogs. They're both authors. And their books were quite popular. Well, they got this dog who was the same dog as the one they had, but he's a nothing. He didn't respond to training, didn't respond to anything. So they had Caesar come over. And when Caesar came over, they said, "What are we going to do?" And Caesar says, "Well, the dog you want to do wants to be trained in a specific way. I'll show you how to have the dog come when you call and be loving, but somebody else will train him in the other area." So Caesar, in 10 minutes, showed them how to have the dog behave and come when called and do everything perfect, you know. Then, after he finished that, then he went away. And he came back in about 6 months. The people had found a trainer to train the dog in beautiful ways. And so the dog's young mistress, you know, was trained in how to handle it. And so what she said was, okay, they went to a dog trainer that trained dogs by motion. You know. And so the dog had to go pick up a ball hidden in the field, and the dog didn't know where it was. And then the dog would look at the trainer, and the trainer would say, that way. The dog would go that way, and then stop. And then the trainer would say, that way or that way. And within 3 or 4 movements, the dog went right to where the hidden thing was. And they were so thrilled that this could be done.
Right.
The dog was happy, they were happy, everything was great. It's fantastic. Interesting, isn't it? You have a puppy dog out there? That loves you very much, you know?
Yeah, sort him out.
Hmm?
I said you should sort him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has a lot of energy.
Yeah, he does. And I was thinking, you know, he has energy. And his energy is not being used.
No.
He's not being taken for a walk.
No.
Like a dog.
No.
He is not playing on the playground equipment.
No.
He's not running with the kids doing anything.
He's
very sedate here, you know.
Yes.
That's not fair to him.
No.
He should really have a half an hour to an hour walk every morning around the blocks or whatever, like adults do with themselves sometimes.
Yes.
And then he would probably be so balanced, so balanced. But that's somebody else's kids. We don't tell them how to raise them.
Yeah, yeah. Cooped up here. He's,
Yeah.
With the computer, and then he wants to do something else.
But he's many times more improved from when I saw him last time.
Mm.
So that's a blessing for them. But what are we doing? What are we doing about our own self and our own kids? Do we see ourselves as the ideal? And to see ourselves as the ideal, we see who we really are. We don't know, because we can't say, "I am the ideal person, I am ideal," and then say, "Well, okay, I can read and write, and I can levitate, and I can do all these other things," and you say, well, that's not really what the ideal is. No. The ideal man, the ideal woman, the ideal child, number one, is healthy.
Yes.
Totally healthy. The ideal is wealthy. Why, how, and where? That's not the problem. It is so. The ideal man, woman, child, is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Just a mind that grasps knowledge in fantastic ways. What other areas is the ideal mind? The ideal mind is unconditionally loving,
yeah,
and loving to everyone. The ideal mind does not know anyone whom the ideal mind is against. The ideal mind is just 100% harmonious with everything.
Yeah.
And if we start thinking of ourselves in that relationship of being 100% one with ourselves in these things, well, it's done. It's done. Now, are we ready for it to be done? Are we ready to experience that? Well, unfortunately, no. We're not ready to experience it because there's something that goes along with being ideal. And what goes along with being ideal is to allow the past to no longer be in the present.
That's it.
And if we can let the past go, get rid of all of those pictures we have, get rid of all of those books that we have that we are never going to read again, and they're not who we are, and you're a liar. You said, I'm not interested in being a gynecologist, but you're not throwing away your books. But you're not throwing away.
No.
You're letting them be there so people come to your house and say, oh, you're a gynecologist. You know.
No, they don't see books.
But no, you understand what I'm saying.
Mm.
Yeah. If we hang on, now for instance, if you were to hang on to your readings in Unity, that's not you anymore. See, you're far beyond what that level of consciousness, as good as it was.
You don't need that, David.
You don't need it. And I know for myself, I've given them all away, or I've thrown them away, mostly. Because I don't want to give them to somebody to have them think that's where I am.
Yes.
That's not where I am. And I mark my books, too, you know. And so I just dump them. And this is the hard part, getting rid of the pictures.
Yes.
Getting rid of family pictures and family activities.
Because like me. Yeah. I never looked at them, but my daughter came and started digging up the pictures, you know, and I brought pictures of so many years ago.
Sure, sure.
You know, looking this, so my mother, my grandmother, my dad.
Life is no longer there.
No.
But sometimes we stay there.
That is a difficult problem, that we are still in the past.
Yeah.
Just letting the past go.
Well, Eckhart Tolle, in writing about now, explained it as he understood it, but he explained it so complex that it's hard to follow. It's hard to implement it. And this is why I do my utmost to be as simple as possible and say, if we want to live in the now, then we think of everything as happening in the now.
Yes.
You had a baby in the Saudi, and that baby was a little difficult, but you said to the mother, let's just massage the baby. Let's just massage the baby before it's born for a couple of days. And so the family massaged her tummy, you know, massaged the baby. And then you said, okay, now doing that, let's just know that it's going to work perfectly. And you're now 2 days past the term that you planned. So you massage the tummy, they do. And then they come in to see you. And then you say, wonderful. And then you do your activity, and out comes the baby perfectly, and you say, just the way we want it. Just the way we want it. Perfect, ideal, in every way. And the reason you're saying that is because that is in the now. So you look at that experience from then, in the now, and live it in the now. You are seeing that picture in the now. You're not seeing it back then.
No.
Because it's, your activity is just as fresh now as it was to you then when it first happened.
Yes.
And you're living it now. So you see, you say, well, that's just a gimmick to let you think in the past.
Yeah.
Well, no, it isn't. You're thinking in the past. Now, you're remaking that situation. Because actually,
recreating.
Yeah, you're recreating. In the past, she had to struggle 3 or 4 times. And you're not creating her doing that now.
No.
You're creating her coming in and you say, well, let's just massage the tummy and get it done. But before you did that, she had this and she had that and she had pains and she had contraction pains and all the other things that were giving her all sorts of misery. And you don't mention that. You just mentioned, we said, let's rub the tummy, let's do this or whatever you choose to do. And you see, and so you're living in the now, in the past, but the now, the past in the now, on the positive aspects that you want to remember.
Yes.
You follow? And so, that's so powerful. That's so powerful. And that's part of living in the now. Now Tola doesn't allow for that, and so I don't recommend him too much to people, but I say he certainly is pointing our minds in the right direction.
Yes.
And that's a tremendously important thing. So, we remember the past in the now, and so long as we keep the past in the now as we remember it, rather than thinking way back then,
what could have been done, or what could have been done?
Yeah, it's already done. And then, as I tell everybody, polish it up a little bit. One of my students, her father and she and the family were at odds, and things didn't go very well at all. And so, this for years and years and years. So I told her that her father had just died, and it was, no, it's just before he died. Her father was about to die. And so she was telling me about the difficulty she had. And I said, well, here's what you do. You leave me now, and you go off into the park or whatever, and you sit and meditate, and you recreate your relationship with your dad. You recreate your relationship with your sisters and mother and so forth and your dad. Create it as the most loving, harmonious thing that you ever could imagine. Take your father's good virtues, his good hobbies, the good things that he says, and make it as it's something real right now. So she did. She did that. And she came back in maybe about 45 minutes, and she says, okay, I've done it. I said, great. She says, I'm going to go home now. And so she went home to her father, and then she talked to him, and she says, you know, Dad, I never got to really appreciate how wonderful you are. I never got to appreciate what a he raised orchids, you know. I never appreciated you. I thought that was dumb, you know. And I never appreciated you having a greenhouse outside of your normal working activities. I never appreciated that. And it's, you know, it's still there today. And I never appreciated it. You know, Dad, there's so much about you that I never appreciated, but Dad, I always love you. I always love you. And the father cried and said, thank you, you know, and then died. But she prepared herself because she listened. And she came and talked to me about her circumstance, and I gave her the suggestions I did, and she applied them. But you see, it was all on her part. I didn't talk to her dad, and I didn't talk to her. I just talked to her about living in the now and recreating the past. And today, her father's been gone now 10, 12 years and or more. And in that time, she has had the most beautiful relationship she could ever imagine with her dad. And this is what we do. This is what we do. We forget that we are ideal. It's true. But somewhere in the past, there are sometimes things that are disturbing us, and as we recreate them in the present day, then they're beautiful and good. Talked to a lady, she had difficulty with her teacher, and the teacher was kind of inconsiderate, you know. And I said to her, all right, when I see you next, I want you to tell me how you have recreated the teacher as a beautiful, sensitive, loving, caring woman who is utterly fantastic and giving you information that is so vital to your work and to who you are, and just create her. And she's, but that's lying. I said, then lie.
Yeah.
Then lie. It's your world. It's your creation. Yeah. You're not hurting anybody by that. But you will then have a different mental attitude about her. A different mental attitude about her her life, her attitudes, her the way she teaches you anything else like that. And it is really quite fantastic. I know I thoroughly enjoy when I see how that responds. Now, that's how I look at the ideal, and that's how I look at it. We had one woman here, she went back home after being with us for 3 months, and during the 3 months we just ideal, 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 ideal.
Yeah.
And when she went home, her daughter came up to her and said, "Mom, you're fantastic." You know, married daughter with children, quite old. And so then the daughter said, "Mom, will you work with me? I have to go in and talk to my boss. He's going to give me a better job. Will you have me the right frame of mind so I go in there and do my best rather than just take something, you know?" And the mother said, "You are the ideal employee. You are the ideal woman. You are the ideal mother, etc., etc. You are ideal. Now you're going to go in to see your boss, and your boss is going to say, 'You are just fantastic. You are just glorious. You are just beautiful.'" And she did. She went in to see her boss, and her boss says, "Well, Barb, you know all about the work you're doing, the work of three people. We're going to give you a very large raise, and also a new position. You're head of everything." Head of everything. Of course, she'd been doing it, you know, because in her work she ended up doing everything for everybody. Yeah. But she came home, she said, "Mom, guess what? You know, not only was I given this big raise, but I given the title of being in charge of everything." But then she went on to another point. 4 hours a day is all I have to work. 4 hours a day. And her mother said, "When you are ideal, that's the way things work. When you are ideal, you create yourself having these wonderful bonuses, you know? It's fantastic. It's fantastic." She sent me the story, or they gave it to me, and she gave me the story, and as I looked at it, I thought, gee, this is wonderful. And then she came in with the addition to it, because she got the new email from her aunt, her sister-in-law, that her daughter, the brother's daughter, her children had that experience. Oh, this family relationship. Yes. Yeah, but she was just so proud and so happy. Mm. And because she recognized it from the ideal point of view, using the word, she was an ideal mother, an ideal father, ideal employee, and she said to her boss, "I do my best to be an ideal employee and to be an ideal person in my job." And he said, "You do good. You're very good." So, these are things that we want to always be working on as we're working on the idea of who we are and what we're thinking and what our values are and where we're going. That's what it's all about. We're fantastic. Well, I see we have come to another point of pause, and there we go. Good. Thank you for sitting here, Mike. Yeah. It's wonderful to share with you. I'm not talking about you or to you or through you. I'm just using you as my catalyst to get me going good.
Yeah, well, I'm absorbing it.
You're wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, because as I said, you have,
I mean, within the past year, you have influenced me in many ways without actually knowing it or rather doing it.
Yeah.
Just by the things you do, or right, listening to the lectures, yes. But in my own life has changed dramatically in many ways. Yeah. Simpler.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
I told you about my cleaning.
Your clinic?
My cleaning.
Clean.
My house. Cleaning my house.
No, I didn't hear that.
Well, you remember when you came last, I said, "Oh, I do my own, I look after my house." And I had these guys who come to clean my house. And I was having a headache, you know. And they come, you know, just, and they come next, they won't come at the time. And I'm used to things being ordered.
Yeah.
So after you came, I said, "Well, if Jeff can look after his house, why can't I look after mine? I'm living alone. I'm doing nothing. I wake up, what do I do? If I want to clean my parlor or the Hoover, I just do it."
Sure, sure. And you do it all.
I just
eliminate it. Because you do it while you're living.
I do it. I clean my toilets and all that. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just remove the big load off my head. Mm-hmm. You know, this one coming and not, but no. I went to my daughter, I said, "Look, I do my cleaning. If I cook, I clean it. But, oh, my lady friend says hello, Kristen.
Yes, my blessing too.
Yeah, I was coming this morning. I told you I was coming to see you. So, no, I do those things. I'm, as you said, traveling light. Now, why do I have to carry many clothes or many shoes? Why?
No reason. Who are you showing off to?
Whom am I showing off to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I take one shoe and I want a black shoe and so on.
Yeah.
Why do I need a brown one?
Yeah.
For who? I'm busy for myself.
Yeah. So who sees it?
I just take what I need, and I don't care who's just looking at. No, no, no. It's wonderful.
But you see, you want to be careful there. You take what you want or need, and it's not that you don't care what anybody thinks.
No.
No, I don't care. And you see, you don't want to say that, because if you say that, that means you do care.
I know, but what I'm saying, before, I'd be saying, oh, let me do this so that I change.
You're
so
doing
that
it for somebody else,
I wasn't changing for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I change for myself.
That's great.
Yeah. That's it. No, no, it's true, and then... When I came back from Nigeria, I had a bit of a problem with my house. That's why my lecture didn't continue. You know, when we had the big freeze, my central heating broke down.
Oh.
So I had no heating in the house.
How wonderful.
Yeah, so, and I collected, you know, they were coming and they didn't sort it as well. And I remember what he said, you know, that actually coolness is what you say. You feel. You can stay in a cold house and not be cold.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, why am I complaining, you know? Mm-hmm. You say, oh, but you'll be cold. I said, no, I'm not cold.
No.
It's not, it's,
but you don't fight it. You just aren't.
No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. If I put my sweater, I stay there. Mm-hmm. And it took quite some time, because if I went to read also in the cold room, but ordinarily, it took about 3 weeks for them to sort it out, you know, so. No, 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 I found it very useful, you know, my studies. Just, I'm going I won't say slow, but I'm going steadily, you know. I'm going steadily. It's breaking old habits. So.
Letting go of the past is an exercise.
It is.
A good exercise.
Like I say, oh, thank God this happened. Thank God this happened. You know, people say that. I say, what is the surprise? Why are you thanking God? The thing has happened.
Yeah, Gott sei Dank, they say in Deutsch. Yeah. Yeah, why are you saying that happens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As if God is partial, you know, doing me a favor.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm healthy. I say, you expect not to be healthy. You know.
Yeah, we don't praise ourselves enough.
No.
And because we're trained that that's not nice to do.
Yep, and that's somebody else, you know, it's not you.
Mm-hmm. So silly. My goodness.
And the way you look at it, it's so simple.
So now you're filling me in on all the details of where we were separated for a short time.
Yeah. No.
It's understandable.
A lot of influence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of influence. Just by simple everyday things, you know. Bother about things. You know, like, you know, even possessions. Attachment to them, you know, you lose the attachment, you know. You say, oh, if something will happen to your car, say, well, it's a car, isn't it? It's just a car. Oh, they will scratch your Mercedes. I say, why do you think they will scratch it? Why? Why would anybody scratch it? What has it done to him or her? I say, it's you thinking. I'm not thinking that way. I park it anywhere. And nobody will scratch it.
Nobody.
Yeah. Nobody will.
And you wrap your car in your pure white light of love, and what should happen?
Yeah.
Except that it be loved by everybody, not possessed by anybody.
That's what I
do. Just loved by everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There are many people in this world who have things happen and they wonder why.
Yeah.
And we are best if we don't say anything about it.
That's it.
But if we were to say anything, we'd probably say, well, it's a cause you put in motion.
That's the thing, you know.
And they don't want to hear that.
No, no, no. My friend Kristen doesn't want to. She puts causes that bring effects.
Yeah.
I know that she did it, but I can't tell her. Yeah. Oh. I can't because yeah. He said, but you caused this
thing.
Your place. Yeah, he said, oh, how did I cause it? Why? Yeah. So I just give up. Mm-hmm. And you see, like we are in the letting business, you know, and I said, look, the people who rent our houses are doing us a favor.
Yeah.
Come to live in our house and give us money
yeah.
to pay the mortgage and so on and so on. So they're actually doing us a favor, you know. Oh, but they are living in my house, you know. I bought the house and they are living there. I'm doing them a favor. I say, no, mm-hmm. It's the other way around. Mm-hmm. We should talk to them nicely.
Yeah.
You know, make the house as if you live there. That somebody
right.
has to live there.
That's right. That's right.
He said, no, we just put second-hand furniture. I said, but why? Do you want second-hand something in your house? No. Mm-hmm. But that person is just yeah. thinking like you.
Yeah.
And of course, she puts those things sometimes, and of course, the people come, and they smash the thing, and then they go and say, he said, but this happens to my thing, but not yours. He said, why?
Yeah.
I said, well, I say, if I tell you that it's your attitude, you won't believe me. These people are just people like us. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're on the other side, and they are doing us a favor. We have to appreciate that, you know. In fact, we they rent our place, we thank them for renting it because they're coming to give us money. Mm-hmm. But if we think we are doing them a favor, they might as well not come.
Then they'll walk off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes I see what is happening, but what can I do? I just keep quiet, you know. Just into an argument with the tenant. I say, no, don't argue with the tenant. You have a contract. Everything is clear there. Clear it all up from beginning to end. Don't go to argue. It's not a personal thing. Person wants to rent your house
yeah. mm-hmm.
and pay you. It's an agreement. If he doesn't rent your house, he won't pay you. I don't see what is complicated there. You know. Mm-hmm.
Get paid when the job's done.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Very simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend, one student, Gregor Mueller, up in Geyserville, he has this big old ranch house that he lives in. And it was run down. The people who live there just ran it down.
Yeah.
And so he moved in, and Gregor is a very careful person. So he said to the landlord, I'd like to put the place in shape. She says, I will buy any materials you want, but I won't pay for the labor. And so he did. He redid the entire inside of the house, new flooring in the house, new walls, boards, new kitchen, and new everything. Then he went out in the back, and he made a deck out in back that was maybe about 35 to 40 feet across, deep, and then about the length of the house, which was over 100 feet long, beautiful redwood timbers and so on, you know, and beautiful wood, just every, and then he put a ceiling cover over it too, and his friends said to him, Gregor, why are you investing so much into that house?
Yes.
You might move tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not yours.
Yeah, but he said, I'm living in it today, and it's mine today.
That's it.
He said, that's why I'm doing it.
Feeling comfortable there, yeah.
Yeah, he said, I'm perfectly. If I leave tomorrow, I will have had it.
Yeah.
If I leave tomorrow, I will not have had it if I haven't done it.
That's true.
And he said, I'm living for me. I'm living to have these things be beautiful in my world. Yeah, we all get to thinking, well, we're renting, so we're not going to improve it, we're not going to do anything. And put any of our money in or energy or time.
Yeah. And you stay with it,
that,
you know. Mm-hmm. And you are not enjoying it. It's like a friend of mine, when television came in Nigeria, he said, oh, I won't buy it in this color. And I said, but when you buy when color comes, you wouldn't have watched any television. You might as well start watching it now, it's black and white. Till the color comes, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my son has an associate, And this associate has a hobby. He collects videos off of the internet. Mm. And he has thousands of them, all orderly and beautifully laid out and done like a library would do it, you know, yes. Really done well. But he never sees them.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time. He's always making new ones.
Too many.
Yeah. And he's got this beautiful, and it's the money he spent in all those tapes and stuff. Mm. But, I mean, if he started now to look at them, he would have to live a couple of lifetimes to go through them.
I mean, it's like, I used to buy these classicals. I have them in tapes, I have them in records, I have them in CDs. And I never get around to listening to them. Whatever. I said, well, why am I buying one? I haven't even listened to the one that I bought. You know? Why?
Yeah, you hang on to the ones that you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so silly. I put it on the iPod, 6,000 songs. Well, now, when am I going to ever hear 6,000 songs? That's stupid. And then, as I listen to the songs, some of them I don't like. So I check them, you know, so that they won't play. But I took all the time to put it on. Now I can take all the time to check it. What I had on before were just the ones that I wanted.
Yeah.
And I heard them over again. That was okay. But the thing is, there were about 300 of them that I just loved very much. Mm. And now I've got 3,000 that...
Oh, some that you don't like.
Many. And duplications, too.
Yes.
And I have to figure out the duplications and delete them and stuff. You know, but same thing. That's all part of the game.
Yeah.
All part of the life.
It's very nice, really, to know what you want.
Look at that. Well, Mr. Evil Bay, you look beautiful. What are you up to?
New dress.
You gonna go and see your mommy?
In a talking mood.
If he doesn't get his own way, you know,
yeah.
Then he's unhappy. You know, Gregor married a woman who had an 8 or 10 year old child, girl, and Gregor felt he had to straighten this girl out.
Yes.
Tell her the rules of the house and stuff. And of course, she's been living with her mother and her father, you know,
no.
And she didn't care about what Gregor said.
Yeah.
And then Gregor said, well, what am I going to do? She doesn't do anything I tell her to do, and she's acting bad. I said, Gregor, you have one job as a new father,
yeah.
And that job is to be so loving, just to love the kid and not see anything that she does as bad.
Yeah.
See everything she does as good. Just love her, love her, love her, love her, love her, until you can't love her anymore. And so he did. And within a couple of weeks, he called and he said, Herb, guess what? Well, I knew. And he said, she and I are the best of friends.
You see?
She just loves me and we do lots of things together. And I said, well, great. But this is the way it should be.
Yeah. Not trying to change the person.
Yeah.
To what you want.
Yeah, true.
That's what we all try to do.
How true. Yeah. So, good idea to go take a little walk outside.
Yeah.
Get a little fresh air.
Why not?
That's a good idea.
Why not?